We are continuing the series of When Jesus Prayed for Us. Sister Smith, did you know Jesus prayed specifically for you? Not somebody representing you, specifically you. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Deacon Hunter, that Jesus prayed for you specifically? And this applies to everyone here. That Jesus prayed specifically for you. And this is the series we're going through, is what exactly did he pray about? Wouldn't you want to know what the Son of God prayed about for you? What specifically did he pray about? Well, the first thing he prayed was for our unity. And the question that was asked was, what is this unity? And we talked about what unity is with each other as the body of Christ. And then what unity is with God, our relationship with God. And I tried to leave you with this point, that we can't sell something we don't have. We can't offer non-believers and those who are potentially ready to believe a wholesome relationship with Christ and his body when we don't even have that relationship. So it's on us to get that right first. And then we talked about our glory. Jesus prayed for our glory. We thought that was a strange topic. Why would God ever glorify us? And then we talked about two reasons why he would, first of all, we talked about what that even meant, and then why he would do that. These two reasons would be so that we can be one, and that so we can work. And then I tried to leave you with this point, that we are a royal family. So let's act like it. So we are coming into the third installment, the third portion of this prayer that is geared toward us. And it's going to be coming from the book of John, the 17th chapter, the 24th verse. Again, I always recommend that you have your own Bible so you can read them, read it for yourself, mark it up. We try to provide it. We try to provide it on the screen to make it easier for those of us who may not have Bibles available or who have a tough time reading the print. But we always recommend that you have your own Bibles. The book of John, the 17th chapter and the 24th verse. The book of John, the 17th chapter and the 24th verse. When you have it, say amen. If you still need some time, say, wait a minute. Amen. Everybody's nice and fast in here. The book of John, 17th chapter, 24th verse reads as follows. It says, Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, so that they will see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the world's foundation. The topic that Jesus is praying for today is our future. Our future. You may be seated. Now, let me ask you a question. Or let me see by a show of hands. Raise your hand if one day you want to go to heaven. Amen. Hands up all over the room. Now, why do we normally want to go to heaven? Well, most of us would say, you know, the effects of sin in this world are gone. No wars, no crimes, no diseases. Some of us have family up there, and we want to see the ones that we buried here on this earth. One day we want to go up there and see them again. We want to be in a place where things are perfect. We know that this world is not, but we want to go to a place where things are perfect, the way things should be, with our loved ones, with the things that we've wanted. We want a perfect place where we don't have to feel pain ever again. And thank God Jesus wants us to go to heaven too. But he actually wants us to go for a different reason. Now, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Why does Jesus actually want us to go to heaven? We know why we want to do it, but why does Jesus want us to go? Why does he want us to go into heaven? Now, normally in most sermons, y'all know that, you know, I start with this question and then we just spend a while trying to develop that question. But I'm going to just give you the answer today. So we can see his glory. That's the answer. He said it in here, John 17, 24. Father, I want those who you have given me to be with me where I am. Look, so that they will see my glory. That's the reason. To see his glory. Now, if we can be honest, some of us find that answer kind of dissatisfying. Some of us are, we're not real pumped up about that answer. We might even be asking ourselves, if we could be honest, why do I want to do that? Why would I want to go to heaven to see his glory? I mean, I'm not opposed to doing it, some of us may say. I'm not opposed to seeing his glory, but like, is that the only reason Jesus wants me to come up? Why is that the primary reason? You know, it just seems like a strange thing for Jesus to say, you know, so you can see my glory. Why does that matter? By a show of hands, yeah, y'all gonna be raising hands today. How many of you have ever gone sightseeing? Sightseeing. How many of you have ever gone to a place like on the screen, you know, where you see mountains and trees and rivers? And maybe it may not have been somewhere like this, which I believe is in Canada, but it's maybe you've just gone to the beach. If you're here in the sanctuary, you live close to the beach. Maybe you've just gone to the beach. Maybe you've just gone to downtown and gone up just to see the city. Again, to sightsee. Now, whatever you went to sightsee, why did you go? Why did you go? I would say that one main reason you went was to go appreciate what you see. I'd say that one, if we want to use Christianese words, I would say one big reason you would want to go to a Yellowstone or a Grand Canyon or a Niagara Falls is to behold the glory of the location. The goal was not for you to get glory. The goal was for you to see glory. By a show of hands, how many of you have a favorite sports team? And I know what I'm doing. I realize this is Sunday. I realize what's happening after. Whether it's the Lakers or the Clippers, the Dodgers or the Angels, the Rams or the Chargers, or the Raiders, or the Saints, or the Cowboys. You want your team to win. Now, why does that matter to you? Why does a team winning matter to you? You know, if you work for the organization or you're gambling, I understand why that would help you out. But when a team wins, you don't personally benefit from their success at all. So why does this matter? It's because you want them to be, here's the word, glorified. You want to see them win. You want to see them get recognized to shine. You want to see them get honored. You don't cheer for yourself to get glory. You cheer for them because you want to see glory. Now, some of us may be saying, you know, I don't go sightseeing and I don't have a favorite team. We all have family. How many of you have seen your family accomplish something? How many of you have seen your family graduate? And if you don't have physical family, you got a church family. How many of you have been proud of someone in your family graduating? Or getting an award? Or getting a job? Or retiring from a job? Or whatever it may be. How many coming home from the hospital? When have you been happy in your family for somebody else? And it doesn't benefit you anything. It's not about you getting glory. It's about what? Seeing glory. Y'all see where I'm going with this? Deep in our hearts, there is a satisfaction in seeing, in witnessing, in beholding glory. There's something in our hearts that's full. You know, it's fulfilling to see somebody else shine. Now, why do we do this? Because we were designed for this. There's a quote from the Westminster Shorter Catechism. It was written in 1646, and it reads, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Now that sounds like our church mission statement, to glorify God among the people so that the people may glorify God. It also sounds like Psalm 86, 9 through 10, which reads, all the nations you have made will come and bow down before you, Lord, and will honor your name. And some translations read, glorify your name. For you are great and perform wonders. You alone are God. It also sounds like Isaiah 60:21, which reads, all your people will be righteous. They will possess the land forever. They are the branch I planted, the work of my hands. What? So that I, the Lord, may be glorified. It sounds like Romans 11:36. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. 1 Corinthians 10:31, which is one of our theme scriptures. So whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do everything for what? The glory of God. Colossians 1:16, it says, for everything was created by him in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. God keeps repeating himself. Y'all notice that? We were designed to glorify God. When we celebrate the glory of nature or of our sports teams, of our family or whatever it is, this is just a small snippet of what we're really designed to do. It's just an example of what we were really made for. We were made to glorify God. God put that desire in us. When he wove us in our mother's womb, he made sure that that desire to glorify God was present in us. We were made for praise. So that's why we praise him. We were made to worship. So that's why we worship him. Now, some of us may say, well, that sounds great and all, but what about us? What about what I want? You know, don't I matter too? You know, when we think of heaven, shouldn't we be thinking of a reward for our labor? What we did? And to that, I say, check the last sermon. If you may not remember, the last sermon we talked about your glory. We talked about how Jesus has already given us the glory that the Father gave him. We talked about how we're already sons and daughters of the Father and therefore princes and princesses of the King of the universe. We've already discussed that. So we already have the glory we seek. And one day, even though we see it in part, one day we're going to get our glory in full. So understand that that's done. That's handled. But think about it. Since we're taken care of, since we've got ours, wouldn't we want to see Jesus get his? Wouldn't we want to see our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, get his shine, get his recognition? Wouldn't we want to see how Jesus gets rewarded for coming through 42 generations and being born of the Virgin Mary and living for 33 years and living a perfect life? Wouldn't we want to see that even though Jesus lived the life that we should have lived, he died the death that we should have died? Wouldn't y'all want to see what he gets in reward for that? Do y'all realize how badly Jesus was beaten and talked about and embarrassed and shamed on the cross? All for your sins and my sins. He did not do anything to deserve it. Somebody like Jesus ought to get shine. Somebody like Jesus ought to get recognition. And don't y'all want to see that? When he see Jesus in all of his glory? To see what he's getting because he went on that cross and he died on that cross for our sins, because he was buried, because on the third day that he was risen with all power in his grave. Don't you want to see that? Don't you want to see Jesus get rewarded? Don't you want to see Jesus in all of his glory? See, Jesus has a name above all names, so that every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I don't know about y'all, but I want to be one of the knees that wants to bow. I want to be one of the tongues that wants to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, that I messed up, that I sinned over and over. And I was given grace and I messed up that grace and sinned again. And I was given more grace and I messed that up and he gave me more grace. And I just got to thank him, because he should have wiped me out. Because if I were God, I'd have been done with me a long time ago. But Jesus Christ, he was so patient. He didn't give up. He didn't deserve it. But he went on and did all that for us. Doesn't he deserve glory? Isn't that worth more Isn't seeing Jesus worth more than going to Niagara Falls? Isn't seeing Jesus in all of his glory worth more than your favorite team winning another championship? Isn't he worth more than that? Isn't seeing that worth more? I want to close with this. Imagine being at heaven's gates. Imagine that day, your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's confirmed. You're in. I want you to imagine that day as you walk, get ready to walk into the gates. Imagine that day. You're going to get everything you've ever wanted. No more disease, y'all. You will be better than at your prime. Your body will be perfect. Your body will be perfect in every way, shape, and form. Your loved ones are there. So many of us can remember the ones we buried, some here at this church, some right here. Your loved ones are there waiting for you. Your mansion is beyond anything you would have dreamed of. And if you already live in a mansion, it's bigger than that. You will have infinite money, assuming there's money up there anyway, because you may not even need it, because everything you want will be available to you. Y'all realize that? No crime, no problems, no sin in any of its forms at all. It's everything you wished it would be. Heaven is everything you wished it would be, and then some. And so here is my question to you. Would you go to heaven if God were not there? Everything's the same. You get everything. All your people are there. Perfection. Would you still go if God weren't there? For me, I can't imagine a heaven without Jesus. Do y'all agree? Like, what does heaven look like without God? I mean, if Jesus is as glorious as he says he is, and I know he's as glorious as he says he is, I'm going to be, do y'all realize there are seraphim that have been flying since the beginning of time? They have been flying around God, and all they scream is, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." That's all they've been doing. Do y'all realize how glorious God is? If God is that glorious, when I get to heaven, I'm going to be so captured by his glory. I'm going to be so in love with him that Jesus himself is going to have to say, hey, James, go to your mansion, man. I think God himself, as I'm worshiping him and joining in praise, I think he would have to say, hey, James, you got family over there. Don't forget to go say hi to your family. I think Jesus is that glorious. I think Jesus will capture our attention. And he is the reason. He is what makes heaven, heaven. Matter of fact, the way I say it is, heaven ain't heaven without him. If Jesus isn't there, I'll be honest with you. I don't want to go. Heaven is where he is. Heaven is where I can behold his glory. So here's the question. Again, I'm asking the same question that we started with. Why do you want to go to heaven? If you weren't there, would you still go? You know, last week's sermon was about I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. Right, Reverend Burks? Is that true for you? You know, when you think of heaven, do you think just of the silver and gold? Or do you kind of change that phrase, you know, I'd rather have Jesus and silver and gold? To me, I'd rather have Jesus. The silver and gold is a bonus. My family being up there is a bonus. My body being perfect is a bonus. Having a mansion is a bonus. God is the strength of my life and my portion forever. In whom have I in heaven but thee? There is nothing else on earth that I desire but thee. Brothers and sisters, y'all realize we don't have to wait to heaven to glorify him? Y'all realize we don't have to wait till heaven to give him praise? We might as well practice while we're here. Because we're going to be doing that for a long time. We're going to be doing that forever. Let's practice while we're here. Let us be satisfied with Jesus and seeing him glorified. Because in the end, heaven ain't heaven without him.